You're listening to audio from Park Church in Denver, Colorado. More information can be found online at parkchurch.org.
The main thought of microgroups is to bring connection in your GC when it's starting to feel kind of stale. And maybe you go, oh, but we don't feel stale right now. I'm like, hey, hold up. Like, there's always more depths that can happen. And so this might be just an opportunity for your GC to step into and to like implement these and create this vulnerability and this connection in your GC that is maybe just like a depth more than what you have. So we just hope to kind of explain what that is, what we've seen the benefit for us. And then something Tim and I just keep saying is like, this might not be good. Like, I just like good. It might be what the Lord has for your group. And so as you like hear about it, you're like, man, like that's totally what the Lord has for this season for us. Or, hey, I'm just going to pocket that one. And maybe in a year from now, I might like reconsider implementing that. But it's just this like kind of head knowledge of like understanding what it is. And then just being prayerful of like, is this for your group right now, for later, or maybe never. It's just like really where the Lord leads you.
Yeah. Awesome. So cool. What is a microgroup? I did not come up with this. I inherited this from the last church I was at. And before Dallas and I started leading the group that we're in, I mentioned to the leader of the group, I was like, hey, we used to do these things called LTGs is what they were called. So they were life transformation groups, sometimes called little tiny groups. Or if you have a Tim in your group, I've heard them referred to as lost Tim groups. So there's that. So you can call them whatever you want, but we're calling them microgroups. And what they are is like, if you guys have had experience just in a church setting, there you may have had some experience with like accountability groups. I think this is kind of similar to that, but not exactly the same. What these are is in your GC would be broken out by groups of 2 to 3 of the same gender. And the goal would be for those people to get together weekly, bi-weekly, and really start to develop deeper relationships with each other. And it's a time to be organic about how your, you know, what life is like following Jesus. And so that doesn't need to necessarily look like we're going to go through kind of like what the structure is for that. But it's really a time, like Jesse said, like I think to foster deeper relationships. And I think it can kind of be like a bit of a way to force people to get to know each other in the group. And that can be good or it can have its challenges. I've seen kind of both sides of that in my experience. But that's just kind of the high level overview. They're just like these little groups within your groups that get together weekly or biweekly. And yeah, there's benefits and challenges to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So why consider this like microgroups for your group? The biggest thing is that it gives people time to be vulnerable. So I recently sat down with a coach and it was just talking about like, our group is really connected, but there's just not this space of like, when it really gets hard, who do I turn to? And sometimes that's not my GC because I just feel like I'm not quite connected that much to them. And so something that's really cool about microgroups is it creates that space and that time to be vulnerable. I think we all know like GC, you're like sitting down over a meal and sometimes you get there with people where you're like connecting and getting to know them a little bit more, but then you kind of step into that more formal space. You're going through the motion and then you can be like, man, it was hard to like get to those deep, deep moments. Also, some individuals like don't quite like know how to get there in the big setting. And so this creates that time for vulnerability and it's just really, really sweet. And then also what that leads to then, so it's like that small group of 2 to 3 people are being vulnerable together. And then that leads to this transparent relationships that are happening throughout the GC. So then that like they're able to show up at GC and be like, hey, I know who you are, Chloe. It's like, okay, I'm feeling more comfortable to share these things even at GC, not just in the microgroup. So there's just like a really beautiful thing that can happen from it moving from microgroups to GCs. And then another reason to consider is just spiritual transformation. Tim and I just talked about like, what's so cool about us talking about this is that our church just went through this 4-week series about confession. Mm-hmm. And a huge part of what or a part of microgroups is just like confession and vulnerability, being vulnerable about the hard things of life, hard things that you're going through, but also being vulnerable about the sins that you are falling into and having that time to confess to others. And so that inevitably leads to the spiritual formation that can happen in microgroups, where you're able to share that and have that accountability. And sometimes people are like, oh, accountability, like sometimes that's a trigger, because sometimes it's like, how do you do that well? Don't ask us today, ask somebody else. No. But like, it's just really, really sweet time where it's just intimate. You're able to share the hard things with each other. And then just that weekly, like, or bi-weekly hanging out really creates that pattern of, hey, like, I'm there for you and you're there for me. It's like, I have that person. And I was even thinking about this, like, we have those people in our lives, right? Like, my sister is like a person who I often go to. She's like one of my people. But it's just really sweet to have somebody that's like in your weekly church community who's also in that space with you. Cause I think it's just like, that's how Christ created it, is that like we are supposed to be walking so closely with each other and carrying each other's burdens and praying for each other and just being in that space. And so that's where that spiritual formation really does drop. And I'm like, more than anything, I think the spiritual formation is like a huge reason of why you consider it.
Yeah, before we go to the next slide, I was just thinking like spiritual transformation. I'm just going to plug what we're going through as a group, which is John Mark Comer. Any other? I saw some nods. So
practicing the way.
So a few fans.
If we, okay.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Through it, or we like.
Yeah, we've read it. We're going through it as a GC. And one of the things he talks about is this idea of like, we are all unintentionally formed, whether we think we are or not. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is a really great way to have like an intentional time of like counter, like transformation, becoming more like Christ, like Romans 12:2, like, you know, transforming your mind. Like, I think this is a really awesome way to kind of think about as a way that you're like intentionally trying to transform and like become more like Jesus and fight against unintentional formation, which is turning us into, you know, whatever those things are. Anyways, shout out for John Mark Comer and his book. Practicing. You know, I'm not getting paid to do this. It's just so great. So,
Mark Comer's like,
I mean, if it, yeah, yeah. I read it and I'm making our group read it. So it was good. So this is, I want to say before I kind of go over like this structure here, like this feels a little like, you know, you're doing your time, which it can be that. I've been a part of these groups where it has been like 15 minutes we're doing this, 30 minutes we're doing this, 15 minutes we're doing that. Mm-hmm. I want you to think of this as like totally a template. But I think what I would encourage all of you to do if you are interested in doing these is I would be very clear about, and I think maybe I'm getting into your slides, I'm sorry for doing this, is just like being clear about like a structure like this for these groups, because I will be honest, some of the challenge I've seen with these groups is people can get together and they're like, what are we doing? And then it can be like really awkward to like try and get vulnerable when you're like, there's no kind of like rhythm to this. And so I would just say when you're thinking about these, just being very mindful of like, there is a structure to this and there's a reason you're getting together. You're not just getting together to like hang out and chat about whatever. It can be that at times, but the ones that I've been a part of where that has been the experience, it can just be difficult to continue getting together because it, I mean, we're all busy. And if you're like, just one more thing on my calendar to get together with these people that like, I don't know why we're hanging out sort of thing, that can just be a reality. So I just wanted to mention that caution just from my experience, if that's something you could encounter with these. But what these are, Hear and Obey, the first 15 minutes is really like 15 minutes talk through. What have you been hearing in God's word? Like, have you been reading the Bible? Like, what have you been learning? So it's just a good time for people to get together. And like most time the conversation is like, hey, I haven't been reading my Bible this week. And it's just a good time to like, be like, not shame someone, but just kind of like, hey, like I'm not like, maybe you can use that time to like get together and actually read scripture together. Like I've done that too. The second part of it is repent and believe, which ties in really nicely. Calvin's going to talk about it in a little bit. The Walking in the Light guide, which Park had just been going through, which is just a time of like confession and talking about sin and being honest about what's going on in life. And the last 15 minutes is consider and prayer, which is just a time to think about those in your life that don't know Jesus and talk about them and pray for them and think about how they can become a part of your life. And so this is just a time, yeah, to think about those people and just pray for just things going on in your life. So again, not like a super strict formula here, but just kind of like, hey, what are you hearing from God? What's going on in your life? And also, what are we praying for? And like, that's kind of what that time is. And if you can have that sort of template for the people doing this, I think that would be really helpful because, again, like I said, if people get together and they don't have any sort of like guidance or just kind of like, what are we doing here? Why are we hanging out? And then it just gets hard to get vulnerable because then the first, who's going to be the first person to be like, hey, I'm dealing with this thing. And it is hard for people to open up about those things. And I feel like if you have this repent and believe, just kind of like, hey, like, let's talk about what's going on in our lives. It just kind of helps organically help people be a bit more vulnerable in what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is like, Tim totally
sorry,
just,
I totally this whole just slide ran through the slide.
No. is like how to encourage us. So like when you're like presenting this to your GC of like, hey, this is something we're going to be implementing and encouraging our group to do. This is like a helpful thing just to touch on. That way you're not just like lost in your GC, like Tim said, like isn't like, what are we doing here? So like you said, clear purpose, just be really, really clear. Like when you're giving it to them saying like, hey, this is the structure. These are who you're meeting with. And there's like a balance there because you don't want to be like expectation, right? Like you don't want that. But you're like really get behind this like idea of like, hey, this is like we are hoping for more vulnerability. And there's so much sweetness that can come from this. And I think even whenever I was like initiated in ours, it was not clear. And we did not understand why we were stepping into these like little groups. So we were all like kind of just like showing up and we're like, how's it going, guys? And then as we started to understand like the structure and the purpose, then everyone was like, okay, I can actually commit to this and like take ownership of this. So that's why we just say like, when you're explaining it to your GC, like let them really understand like your heart behind it and what like it can bring. And then something about ownership. So what is really unique about microgroups? So like you guys are the GC leaders, right? Like you guys are the ones that are often like facilitating, often making things happen. And then the GC members are just showing up. What microgroups does is it makes all these small little pockets of groups that don't have a GC leader over them. So it's me, Miranda, and Whitney, who are all not leaders. We're just two, three people in the group that are now hanging out. So it's like not one of us is like the initiator, like, hey, weekly, I'm going to be the one that's setting it up. Or, you know, it's like you're doing it together. And so part of this is just really having these people, like your GC members, buy in and saying like, hey, I'm invested. When the text comes out, like it's not always going to be Jesse who initiates the hangout. It's going to be sometimes Whitney, sometimes Miranda. Maybe we'll change up the location, but just like that willingness to say like, hey, I'm wanting to show up because I can see the fruit that this can give and bring about. And so just really encouraging that ownership. So does that make sense? Like, because you can see how it's like, even sometimes when we're GC leaders and we're like facilitating, it's like, still they don't show up and still they don't have ownership. So it's like putting it in them. So it is something that can be hard for like these groups. It's like, because people are like, I don't know how to take that ownership. And so that can be even something I've found that's really sweet of even building up leaders. It's like a sweet space of like, we love to make our members like more like capable of leading. And I don't know if you guys like experience this, but like in my old GC and our new GC, like we love pulling in other people to like lead. And it's like, it's not just him as leader. In a lot of ways, there's like a lot of other people that step up and lead alongside him, even though he's like the official
like
leader.
Jesse. Like, Jesse's one of them.
And Jack and Alice. No. And so it's just like really cool. So that I think microgroups can do that where it's like, it starts to facilitate these like little leaders, right? You're like, hey, and then as a GC, you're like, how's it going? And some people are like, ah, and the other one's like, yeah, I'm like initiating all the time. And you're like, well, that's a natural leader. How can I maybe use them in my GC more? You know what I mean? Does that make sense? And so ownership, kind of a tangent on that, sorry. And then identify leaders and separate them. We intentionally put this bullet point on here because if you put like all the leaders together and like all the quiet people together, there's just like inevitably these the microgroups might not work. Sometimes, actually, I should not say that because my husband was put in with Jack and another guy who are all three of them are very, very quiet. And I remember the first time it was like, what's gonna happen? Like they're all really, really quiet. And then it's like been an awesome group. And so I would just say like the Lord can use every group and every dynamic of relationships. But maybe just be attentive to those leaders to not all put them in. Cause again, with that ownership thing, it's like, if you have at least one person that you're like, okay, I have a feeling like they're going to take initiative and really like get this going. And it just like helps the success of the microgroup.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'll say from experience, I've been in groups where like, we've tried to break them out, and then like three people that don't really know each other, none of them were really a leader, and you're like, y'all are in a group together, and then like 2 months later you're like, have y'all been meeting? And they're like, we never met. And you're like, all right, you know, not for everybody. So I think that's a good point of like kind of having the leaders like take the ownership and like kind of pulling in someone that may not be as like involved naturally.
I also was going to say something like, uniquely, there's like, so like, it's so in the Lord's hands too, though. And this is like where I'm like, man, just pray over like who you put together. That's like a sweet thing that as leaders, you know, you're like GC members. I always call them GCers. You have a question? Please ask questions.
You're putting the people together, then you're putting the small groups together.
Yeah.
You're not just telling them. Okay.
You're not like, go find people. Like, so Tim, like what happened was, is like in our GC, just to give the example, because I think that's a good clarification. Like there's our group and I'm like, okay, like I would say you guys are together, you guys are together, you guys are together, and you kind of just place them. Okay. And then you're like, and then you're like saying like, hey, from here, go and like set up a meeting. And it's like, as leader, you're not like, you're not going, you meet on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like for you, you are like handing that off to them and having them have that ownership. Yeah. That's a good clarification.
Because what could happen, and this will naturally happen, is like people will just gravitate towards each other. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it is good to have that kind of forced, like you're with this person now. But that can also be a challenge. Like I've seen it again, like, you know, you just have to be mindful, like Jesse said, like praying over it. But I do think... what my concern would be as a leader, if you were to like just kind of like let people self-assign, is like, you know, like the people who already know each other just might be like, well, we'll just hang out and do this. Mm-hmm. Which could be good, but then I think it can lead to kind of like isolating some other people in the group who are like, oh, I'm not connected and I don't know anybody. And I think that's kind of like to the genesis of like this whole training, is like, this is a way to try and include those people who maybe feel like, hey, I'm left out and I like don't know anybody in this group. Mm-hmm. So
I have a question kind of on that page. Our group is pretty big and it does kind of naturally segment out into people who are just natural friends. Mm-hmm. And so that's something I've been wondering about. Was it, would it be helpful, even if we were assigning, to assign people who were already naturally had a tendency to be close to each other, because maybe then they'd open up more? Or is it, do you think you can assign people who might not naturally seek each other out and they could still get there to the point where they're really vulnerable?
Yeah.
That appeals to me, because then I think the group would be more kind of unified, but it does make me wonder, would they be able to open up as much?
Like actually, mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, I mean, and you say what you think too, Tim, after me, but I think like the latter of just like kind of dividing up those like friend groups, because like there is that goal of just like vulnerability throughout the group, not just like keeping those like, I don't like the word clicks, but it's kind of like the best way to describe it sometimes. But just like those small like groups that are starting to form on their own. It's like, hey, let's like break those up and make sure that we are just a group as a whole. But there's like that risk, right? That they're not going to feel comfortable. But the hope is saying like, hey, that's the goal, is that we get to know everyone well, not just your best friend.
And it could even be something that you do like for a season. You're like, hey, we'll do this for 6 months, and then if we want to switch them up, we can. Mm-hmm. I think if you set that expectation early on, that could be good. But the danger of like switching the groups up is that people might be like, 6 months might be like the amount of time it takes for them to be like, oh, I was just like getting to get close to them. Yeah. So there's always, I feel like there's always that like discernment as a leader, as like, you know, putting people together. And I think to your question, I think like it is good sometimes put people together who you think will actually meet, because the reality of it is sometimes if you get people together who like don't really know each other, is they may just never meet. Unless I think to Jesse's point here on identifying leaders, is like, unless there's someone else in your group that you can pull aside and be like, hey, like this is going to be hard, but I need you to lead out in this, and I need you to like take ownership over this and like lead out and text them and try to make an intentional relationship with them. So
yeah.
I think there's a ton of nuance here. Like I think what I want to express is there's no like, this is the way to do it. It's just like, cause I think if you kind of try and force it to be a certain way, people might be like, ah, like I don't really like that. I'm not doing that. Yeah. So,
go for it. Yeah. Molly.
You might begin to answer this, but how much do you guys follow up when you've done this with people meeting? Like, are you asking weekly, hey, did you guys meet? Or like, how are you doing that?
Yeah, weekly, I text all of them. No, I'm just kidding. I don't.
Nightly.
Yeah, no. What I did as a leader, so to Jesse's point, the way they started in our group is I just like mentioned it. So I wasn't leading at the time. I mentioned it to the guy who was leading. He's like, that's a great idea. And then to Jesse's point, we just like kind of got assigned and everyone was like, what are we doing? And so whenever I took the group over, I sent out like a Google poll and I just asked everyone, I was like, how do you feel about these? Do you want to do them? Do you like them? Do you want to change the group that you're in? Which was good. But then it also led to some people being like, well, I want to be with this person and being with this person. And so then it kind of goes back to like being a leader, like, how much choice do you give the group and like being who they want to be with? And I think there is some benefit to kind of like just assigning them and be like, this is your group for now. And then maybe using some form of technology, like a Google poll to check in with them and be like, hey, are you doing these? Are you meeting? Do you like them? And then using that as a way to reassess. Cause our group, everyone was like, we want to keep doing these. We love these. And I was like, great. Keep doing them.
So. You've only checked in with us like twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We found that there's been like natural, like in our group, we have like people who are working and then like me and another woman who are stay at home moms and then like one person who's retired. And so it's like, there could just be those natural, like I can't be during the day cause I'm working.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's totally a challenge. Yeah. One thing we've done in the past too, and this could be if you want to incorporate these in your group, is like send out a poll and see when everyone is available and then assign people by their availability. Because I think, I don't know whose group it was. One of the groups was like, we can't even find a time to meet because it's like, oh, we could do coffee on Tuesday. And then someone's like, ah, I can't ever do that. So
yeah.
That could be a way to like organize these groups is by when they're free.
Yeah. And also like a thought on there too, of just like, if you find like your group is just like, we have can never find a time to meet. Like we can never like actually make it happen. Bailey threw out this idea and I thought, I was like, man, that's like so genius, is to just initiate microgroups as part of your GC meeting. So for like maybe the first month or two, it's like, hey, for the last 15 minutes or the first 15 minutes, like, or 30 minutes, like it's not going to be this full hour, but just like having this like space to like connect and have that repetitive getting to know each other. We're stepping into space together. So then it's established and then you're like, okay, now you're going to kind of like push them out and do it on their own. And I thought that was like a really cool idea. Cause I think it does, it creates that foundation for them to where they're not just like completely lost and be like, okay, what do I do? How do I establish this? It's like, okay, they have those moments together to get to know each other and to establish, hey, these are the moments that I'm available. Let's make it happen. We should have said from the beginning, you are absolutely welcome to ask questions. So thank you so much for asking questions. Yeah, I think it's you.
I know we're a little over our time on talking, so I'm like, I'll go through this quickly. Yep. I hope this has been made clear, but how these are different from like a normal GC or Bible study is this is just totally a time for people to be much more open, organic with each other. I think you were kind of saying on the first slide, like, I think we've all been there where you've done like a big group hangout and you're like, we talked, like we had a bunch of small talk, you know, it was good seeing them, but like didn't get deep on anything, you know? And I think that's what these groups are for, is that time to kind of force that like deep conversation with people where you're like, we didn't just talk about how was your work day and what's your cat doing this weekend, you know, like, so that I hope that's been made clear, but that's kind of what this slide was just kind of like the differences between, you know, the weekly get together with GC.
All right. I'm also going to keep this short.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah, Jack, are these slides going to be sent out?
We can.
I think
send,
maybe
you want to send it to me and I can make that.
Let's do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm just going to, I mean, we've kind of been giving little moments of testimony throughout this, but what I would say has been so unique for me with my, it's so hard not to say little tiny group because that's just what I call it all the time, microgroup, LTG, microgroup, is that I stepped into a space not knowing these girls at all. Like, it was a month after I joined RGC that we started our microgroups. And so when I got put into it, I was like, wow, I just don't know these people at all. And like initially I was really nervous and I was just like, I don't know how we're gonna make this happen. But it is just like such a testimony to the sweetness of it, where like these two girls are now some of my like closest friends, like in the city. And so like we did pretty quickly just establish, like from the beginning, like we just like started with our testimonies because we like didn't know how to start because we were just thrown into it. And so that can be a really cool way to start is just like start with our testimonies. This is who we are. And then we were just like, let's go into it. And then like, we just slowly got to this point where we're just like, man, we are keeping each other accountable about some really, really hard things. And I just had never quite had that with like a group of people from church. I've like had that with like I said, other people, but it was just really, really sweet where today, like we still are meeting and it's just like awesome where we get to just like, we know these things about each other and we can be like, hey, how's that going? And it's not like, oh, take offense. Oh, it's like, thank you so much for asking because I need somebody in my life to be that person. It's like, I have other people, but like for you to know me so well and that I'm like truly getting to do life with you. And so that's just like a little thing that's been so sweet. And then I would honestly say that it impacted our like GC so much because I think before we had little tiny, oh my goodness, microgroups, it's in there, it's deep, microgroups, like we were close, but we weren't like vulnerable or like there for each other. And what I saw was like after microgroups started happening, there's just like these moments of like need in our group. And it was just like, the willingness to serve and the willingness to be there. And like, I don't know, it just suddenly we were like in each other's lives. We weren't just like doing life like this. It was like, we were in each other's lives and that was just really, really sweet. So I think that's like a quick testimony. Huh?
I said preach.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. I'll also just add like some of my closest friends have been from these groups. Like there's a guy I still keep in touch with that I've known for years. Because we just got so close doing this. So it can be really awesome.
Yeah.
And we're done. And now Calvin's up. Do you want to trade spots or do you want to just hang out over there?
Stay right there?
Okay, great.
I just wanted to mention a resource for you guys as we've stepped into, you guys already mentioned the Walking in the Light series. But we created this resource that talks about confession, walking in the light, walking into these spaces of transformation. And since this is a very appropriate space to step into those spaces of transformation, we just wanted to provide a resource. This is a generalized resource that we passed out to the entire church. It's an invitation for you guys to use a template for your microgroups, but use creativity, lean in however you want. But these little like booklets that you were handed out a couple months ago, there's more down on the welcome table. And we'll get more of the bookmarks. We are out of those. They just provide questions specifically around confession. So if you lean into this kind of model and you take that 30-minute space, just opportunity to ask about confession. And there's a lot of leading questions and different levels of them as well to like allow you to go deeper. So even if you're like starting out with a micro group, yeah, I can ask like low level one, what's going on, get into the why, get into the how, those sorts of things. There's also resources in here about how to receive confession. So as we walk into like spaces like this, like yes, it's good to have the vulnerability shared, but there's also an opportunity to receive that vulnerability really well. So this is just an extra resource that you guys can utilize if you want these. If you don't have them, they're down on the welcome table. There's also, I think they're online.
Yes,
they are. Some way, shape, or form, you can find it on the website. So, yes, and I'll probably have Bailey send it out and follow up after this. Cool. But this is just a template to use if you're like looking to start these in your groups. So.
Awesome.
There you go.
Yeah. Great. Okay, we're going to step into time of discussion. How much time do we have to win?
We're going to start cleaning up rooms at like 6:15, I believe. So it is
I'm like,
5:45. Wait. That clock is
that long.
It's behind. It's behind an hour.
Like I've
it's ready for November.
Cool. We're gonna step into discussions. We'll gather you guys up. Tim and I are gonna jump into some of the tables and just join you guys in the discussion. Like the conversations that are gonna happen are gonna be edifying for our group too, you know? So don't be intimidated if we're like joining in. It's just like we wanna grow. But these are gonna be our questions. I would just say like don't feel like you have to like rush through them, right? Like if you're like really staying on one and really like talking through it, sit there, let it be where the Lord moves. But yeah, we just hope these kind of help you think through realistically, what would this look like for your group if you were to implement these? So we're just going to turn in on the tables. Yeah. Question.
Can I ask a couple
helpful. Yes.
How often do you guys meet as a whole group? Is that weekly?
Weekly. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Weekly.
Yeah.
And then were the participants pretty committed, engaged prior to you guys starting microgroups? Or have you seen any changes like as you've done that?
It was pretty early on when our group came together, maybe just a couple months into us being together, and we all didn't like really know each other. And so I think like your testimony is
but
part
people,
of
it. Did they show up consistently?
Yeah.
I think like over time, and this is to mention this, like maybe having a time frame is helpful for microgroups, because over time it can be like, okay, we've been doing the same thing over and over and over again. Like we're starting to fizzle out. Mm-hmm. And so is where kind of a leader gives that, like that pulse, like taking those surveys of a pulse of like, hey, how's this going? And it's like, hey, we're actually like not really meeting anymore. Or like, oh, it's great. And then so you can like, we've said sometimes like maybe you go, hey, unofficially, like we're done with microgroups, but if you want to keep on going with your microgroup, if this is something that feels like it's just really life-giving, and then keep on going. But don't like, that way they feel this like, okay, we don't have to feel like the fizzle out is bad. You know what I mean?
Because we've even had feedback in our group of like, they were like, oh, I didn't know I could meet with people outside of the microgroup. And we were like, we don't care.
Yeah.
Like, y'all are adults. You can meet with whoever you want. And so that might happen too, where people like organically just kind of like shift and find their own groups. Mm-hmm. Like I've done that before in groups that I've been in where I'm like, this is hard. They're not responding. Doesn't feel like they were like, there's no buy in here. I'll just like meet with someone who does. So like that can happen too.
Yeah. That's why we say like making that ownership is like so good. Cause then it's just like, they're like, okay, we're doing this.
Do you have a question?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Jesse. For your testimony, how long did it take ish to go from not knowing each other to like, this is super comfortable?
Yeah. I would say, let's see, I'd say like 3 months probably of us meeting pretty consistently. We met biweekly. Something funny that we did in our group is that all of us are married in our GC, so that's unique. But all of our microgroups are like, the girls I meet with are all the husbands meet together. So it's like a cool way to do it. Cause then it's just like schedule wise, it's like, hey, I'm here. I have kids, then it's like, I know that the dad's home cause they're not meeting and you can like switch off. And so it's like every Tuesday, but it's like, there's ours, or something like that. And so, yeah, I'd say about 3 months. I'd say like the girls in my group were pretty like excited. None of us were really connected yet in the group, I would say, like strongly. And so we were just kind of like thirsty for that connection of like new friendship. And that's like interesting too, just take that pulse of your group of like, hey, like maybe there is this individual who's like doesn't know how to connect. Maybe they're super thirsty. They just don't know how to. Maybe they're quiet in group because they don't know, because they don't feel connected. Maybe this could be the perfect thing like to encourage for. But that's hard too, because that's just one individual versus whole group. And so it's like really just figuring out like what your group needs. But that's why I just say like, even try it. And if it's like, man, this is awesome. Like people are really connecting, or hey, this is like maybe not what our group needs. But there's sweet, sweet stuff that can come from it. Any other questions before I jump into discussion? Yes, Addie.
Question from Jeremy. He was wondering how they look different for like men and women. Like, is there any kind of like differentiation of how you meet, or you know what I mean? Is there any difference?
Girls probably talk a lot more.
Well, in my, yeah, I mean, I can't speak to the women gathering. But I don't, there's no like at the outset of like, hey, women are going to do this, guys are going to do this. Mm-hmm. But I think I don't want to stereotype that and say like, oh yeah, because the girls will talk. But I have been like in groups with guys where it's like, I'm pulling teeth trying to be. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it can be really hard. And that's why sometimes it can feel like really forced. And that might be like you meet, like I've been in ones where I meet with them for like 3 months and I'm like, they're not opening up. And it could be one of those things where like, I'm going to keep pouring into this. I'm going to keep doing it. But honestly, as like a person, you can just get tired. You can be like, I am having a hard time here. And I know all of you as leaders probably get to those moments where you're like, I am tired. And so like, just being honest, like my group, it's been hard. And I've gotten to that point where I'm like, I text them. They don't ever respond. So I'm just going to like pause this for now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't think at the outset there was any sort of like women are going to do this and guys are going to do this sort of thing.
Jack, can you speak into like your group? Because I feel like
I think the group that I'm in with Jesse's husband and this other guy named Jack is like I think it's totally unique because I think from day one we were able to pretty clearly and concisely be like, what do we want this group to be like? I think all three of us, because we were kind of quieter guys, but we also were like knew that this would be a good thing for us to do. We all just kind of from the outset agreed that like this is going to be time for us to like confess sin and then pray, and like that's what we're going to do. And so then it's like, and then we're gonna have a little group chat where we can like, if we need to like text everybody, we can text everybody, and so that's like from day one that's been pretty consistent. We've met almost every week. We do it every, we do it weekly, but we're also like super strict on time. Like we meet 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. at a coffee shop that's like kind of in between us. The day has changed a little bit just because of my stuff, my scheduling, and but it's been pretty consistent, and it's been a good time to like for me, I'm like one of the youngest people in our group, and so it's been really cool to sit with Peter, Jesse's husband, and to sit with this other guy, Jack, who are like a couple stages, not a couple stages of life, but a stage of life ahead of me, and to like just get really cool insight and wisdom, specifically about like, here's some sin that I'm struggling with. You guys have struggled through this too. Provide insight. So it's, so I don't know. I think that would be my experience, I think for guys in general, it is a lot of pulling teeth, but I think that like, micro groups are a long game, not a short game, you know? And it's like, you're gonna probably end up seeing more failure than success sometimes, but like, it's definitely worth it. It's totally worth it.
Yeah.
And it's good for you.
Yeah, because I've also been, I feel like I've been really negative. I want to also say I've had good experiences with these. And like I said, I've had really good friendships come from these. And I have been in a group, like, before my wife and I moved to Denver, we lived in Austin, and that, and when I was living there, I was in a group with two guys where, like, the first few hangouts were just like, all right, what's going on? but then we became really good friends. Like, it just, we just kept meeting, we just kept getting together, and then it just eventually over time formed these really great relationships. But, and I think honestly, like, I don't know what you say about that to your group, but it could be good just to be honest with them and be like, these might be a little awkward at first. But if you stick with it, this can be really fruitful and really, really good for all of you.
Well, I don't want to hijack you guys this time, but I think what you said, Tim, about like the, your, like with your group specifically, and it being like just something where you continually pour into, but it's like an empty, like it's a bucket with a hole at the bottom is what you're pouring into. That like, that's an okay time to have like something more organic develop if that's what's going to happen, because you can't have a micro group if people are not willing to meet, and so if people aren't willing to meet, then sometimes that organic thing is nice. So while I still meet with Peter and Jack, you and I also meet up or try to.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? I can just jump into. Okay, let's jump into the discussions. There's going to be up here, and we're just going to join you guys. That sounds good.
I just want to say thanks all of you for joining us.
Thank you guys so much.
And listening to us and for the questions. It was really great.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for listening. Park Church exists to make disciples of Jesus for the glory of God and the joy of all people. More information and more resources can be found online at parkchurch.org. Take care.